Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It seems as though we give the Holy Spirit short shrift. I believe in the Holy Spirit, then immediately onward. The Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So far, the third article. But all those things that you speak of in the third article are the work of the Holy Spirit and the domain of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who creates the Holy Christian Church, who gathers together the communion of saints, who in this Christian Church daily and richly delivers the forgiveness of sins, who on the last day will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. That's what you say the work of the Holy Spirit is. They are all of these things. So what does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. Do you notice how much talking about yourself you do in the explanation to the Apostles' Creed? In the first article, what do you say about yourself? God has made me and all creatures. He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. All that you say about you, right? He's made you. And then He guards and defends you against all danger. And all this He does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in you. You say, there is nothing in me that deserves what the Father does. There is no merit, no worthiness in me. And then in the second article, right? Again, you speak the law about your flesh, right? That you are, what do you say? A lost and condemned person. And yet, Jesus is your Lord. And now in the third article, you say this damning law about yourself. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. It is as if the second article has just left you hanging. Jesus desires to be your Lord. And yet you are so far away from Him that you cannot even believe in Him. You cannot, when He calls, come to Him. That's what you say in the third article. I can't believe. I can't come to Jesus. And yet, each of these damning statements of the law that you say about yourself in the creed, each one of them, in the very same breath, has a beautiful gospel corollary, an answer. No merit or worthiness in me. But He does so out of His fatherly divine goodness and mercy. You are a lost and condemned person. Your Lord Jesus has redeemed you, purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and with His innocent suffering and death. And I believe, I cannot believe in Jesus or come to Him by my own reason or strength, but the sweetest word in the whole explanation of the third article, but the Holy Spirit does what you cannot. He has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with His gifts, sanctified and kept you in the true faith. In the gospel reading tonight, Jesus Himself says, the flesh is no help at all. It is the Holy Spirit who gives life. And no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father, by means of the work of the Holy Spirit. And St. Paul writes, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Without faith, you cannot call Jesus Lord. Without faith, all the work of Jesus in the second article of the Apostles' Creed that you confessed last week and the week before, that He has redeemed you, purchased you, won you with His holy precious blood, does you no good. Without faith, you don't receive the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross. And where does faith come from? I believe that I can't believe. But the Holy Spirit does for you what it is impossible for you to do on your own. Elsewhere, Jesus says, with man, this is impossible. In an answer to the disciples' question, who then can be saved? With man, no one. But with God, all things are possible, even the salvation of those who cannot, by their own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him. This is why Lutherans don't do altar calls. Why we don't ask anyone to make a decision for Jesus. Why? Because by your own reason and strength, you can't. You can't believe in Jesus. You can't come to Him. St. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the power of the prince of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Dead men make no decisions. You can't go to a funeral and just exhort the person in the casket to get up, to decide to live. It is as equally ridiculous and equally futile to tell a sinner to make a decision for Jesus, to tell a sinner to give his life to God, to tell a sinner to come, bring himself to the altar and come to Jesus. You, St. Paul says, were dead in your trespasses and sins. The Catechism says, I believe, I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. By nature, I'm dead. But the Holy Spirit does everything. Has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. And notice, of all four of those things that He does all four of them through means. The Spirit only works through the means of grace, through the Word preached, through the sacraments administered. So God, through the prophet Isaiah, says, my word does not return to me empty, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, it does what He intends. Like rain comes down from heaven and does not return there without getting the dirt wet, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. Faith, St. Paul says, comes by hearing. The Spirit is alive and active wherever the Word is proclaimed, so that you might receive His gift of faith. You're saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, but it is a gift of God. by hearing, by the administration of baptism, by the word of absolution, by the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Communion. The Spirit gives faith, and He guards faith, and He preserves you in the faith. And He enlightens you. He flicks on the bulb of faith in your dead brain and gives you new life. You are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. This is the enlightenment of faith, the enlightenment which trusts God for full forgiveness, real enlightenment that knows who you are in light of God's Word and knows who your merciful Lord Jesus is in light of the Spirit's gift of faith. It's this kind of enlightenment that can say these things that the Creed says, that there is no merit or worthiness in me, that I am a lost and condemned person, and that I cannot believe. It takes a certain level of enlightenment to let the law have its way with you, to call yourself a sinner, and to trust just as fully in the forgiveness God gives only to sinners. But the Holy Spirit does what you cannot. He sanctifies. He makes you holy. With the Lord's means of grace, He does for you what you cannot. He has given you faith, and He makes you holy all throughout your Christian life. He grows you in the Word. He grows you in your Christian life. He grows you in the exercise of piety, in the good works you do for those in your various vocations, those God has put into your life who need your good works. And He alone keeps you in the true faith. You don't do it to yourself. The Spirit keeps you. The same faith that He has given you, you can be certain and confident that He guards zealously, guards the good deposit of faith that He has placed into you. Everything He does by means, so that you can be certain, so that you can know that in the hearing of the Word, as certainly as sound waves vibrate the air and bounce against your eardrum, and the little bones inside your ear rattle and send impulses into your brain, faith comes by hearing. And you can be as certain that as you get wet in the waters of holy baptism, baptism now saves you. And you can be certain that as you hear the words of holy absolution and you feel a man's hand upon you, it is the Lord Jesus who in those words forgives sins. And you can know with confidence that when the Lord Jesus says, "This is my body and this is my blood for the forgiveness of your sins," it is the Spirit at work to deliver to you the real body and blood of Jesus, who has given you faith and who preserves you in the faith. And not just you. There's no I and Jesus kind of relationship. The Lord Jesus has a relationship with His whole church. In the same way, the Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. It is a miracle enough that He gives faith to you and preserves you in the faith. Your perseverance in the faith is due to the work of the Holy Spirit alone. If you leave the faith, it's your fault. But when you stay in the faith, it is His work alone. And what He does for you, He does for the whole church. The Lord's church is the largest miracle on earth. That all these dead people, dead in their trespasses and sins, have been made alive by the work of the Spirit, given the gift of faith when they themselves could never believe, could never come to Jesus, by the Spirit's work are brought to Jesus. And He continues to work to gather all of His elect around His means of grace. And in this Christian church, daily and richly forgives your sins and the sins of all believers. In the name of Jesus, amen.